This is WSBT's Community Update on 96.1 WSBT.
Good morning, I'm John Hoffman. Community Update this week will consist of updates on a series of stories from the past week. The seemingly never-ending police tapes controversy in South Bend will go on at least a while longer. Judge Stephen Hostetler this week ruled against a motion to end the case, saying there are still dates and facts in dispute that could influence whether the recordings were made legally and whether they should be released to the Common Council and possibly to the public. WSBT 22's Max Lewis talked with the council's attorney, Robert Palmer, and others for this report.
The so-called discovery date of February 4th, 2011 is still being debated between both sides, but Judge Hostetler did say in his ruling today that the tapes made before that date are not illegal, but he also says that there are still more questions that need answers.
The judge ruled tapes made before the recording was discovered are legal, but says the tapes made after the discovery date present a more complicated question. The court still needs to determine the exact date that the recordings were discovered.
Whatever the evidence comes out that exact date was, that's the cutoff date for unintentional and intentional.
Another unanswered question is whether the officers heard on the tapes gave implied consent to being recorded, which is something the council has argued at previous hearings.
He agreed that if we can establish implied consent, that under the Indiana Wiretap Act, recordings both before and after the discovery date would not violate the act.
Today's decision was one of the first major developments in this case in the past couple of years. Council President Tim Scott says he's happy with the decision.
It's a step along the path that, this council, I've been on for 8 years and I've been at the beginning of this, that we're confident that this is the steps that were needed to take to get to the point where we're at now.
And with Mayor Buttigieg being at the center of this years-old controversy, the tapes case has made it into the national spotlight. But Scott says their mission hasn't changed.
Whether this is making national media or not, it doesn't matter. What it is it's local here. It's something that we're going to continue to pursue. And again, transparency in government, and which is needed and asked for by members of this town.
The next hearing will be next week. Palmer says they should learn more then about the direction of the case.
The recordings are rumored to include racial slurs by some officers against former police chief Daryl Boykins, who is black. The council has wanted to hear the tapes ever since it came to light that they exist. Mayor Pete Buttigieg, now running for president as he prepares to leave office at the end of this year, says he has not heard them and cannot release the tapes until and unless courts rule they do not violate federal wiretap laws. Meanwhile, Buttigieg continues efforts to put a firm financial footing under his campaign. He has attended large donor fundraisers this week in California and Chicago, where donors who helped Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton have hosted events for him. And critics are responding to his surge in polls of Democratic hopefuls by starting to push back on some of his record in South Bend. The ongoing police tapes controversy is drawing fire from some activists who say Buttigieg was too eager to hide the contents of the recordings rumored to contain racial slurs against then-police chief Daryl Boykins, who is black. While defending his actions as necessary under federal wiretap laws, Buttigieg admitted on CNN this week he was slow to understand how deeply felt the anger at police was in minority communities of the city. A new hearing this past week in the legal battle to open an abortion clinic in South Bend. Whole Woman's Health Alliance was denied a license to operate over a year ago, but they're not backing down.
The group reapplied for the license back in January, but that application came with a longer list of questions from the state. The alliance says it's not fair, and it says the licensing law is being used against them in a discriminatory way.
Whole Woman's Health Abortion Clinic sits on Lincoln Way West in South Bend with its doors locked, but that could soon change.
We believe that the women of South Bend deserve to be able to access abortion care in their community, and Whole Woman's Health Alliance would like to do that.
18 months ago, the alliance applied for a license to operate from the state. That request denied, arguing the nonprofit didn't disclose information related to additional clinics. The alliance appealed the state's decision and just reapplied for another license in January.
We still have the lawsuit against the state in federal court, which includes the licensing scheme that is what we were challenging today.
Lawyers argued in court for a preliminary injunction and temporary restraining order, allowing the clinic to operate without a license.
We feel very positive because the Supreme Court has ruled on this kind of thing, and in the Holmes Health case from a couple of years ago.
The Alliance argues the State Department of Health is singling them out as an abortion provider. They are asking the court to block enforcement of the licensing law. That way, they can open right away.
We don't plan to stand by while government officials bully providers of abortion care.
Just last week, Attorney General Curtis Hill filed a brief with the federal court opposing the nonprofit's request for a preliminary injunction. He stated without a license, it would be impossible for the state to ensure the clinic is following abortion laws.
There is no specific date on when the judge will make her ruling, but if the ruling is granted, the building would become operational. There would then be a later court hearing to decide whether to uphold the decision and grant the clinic permanent operating status.
WSBT 22's Lauren Becker reporting. A new effort this past week to find the killer of two Delphi teenagers over 2 years ago. State Police Superintendent Doug Carter and WSBT 22's Caitlin Conan update the story.
I can assure you that how you left them in that woods is not what they're experiencing today.
State police say they believe the man in that drawing killed 14-year-old Liberty German and 13-year-old Abigail Williams. They say that man could be anywhere from 18 years old to 40, and he may appear younger than his actual age. But ISP Superintendent Doug Carter says someone in Delphi probably knows who he is. Those words may have been the last that Abby Williams and Libby German heard before they were killed 2 years ago. Superintendent Doug Carter says that's the voice of a killer, and he says someone knows who it belongs to.
We are confident that you have told someone what you have done. Or at the very least, they know because of how different you are since the murders. Watch the mannerisms as he walks. Do you recognize the mannerisms as being someone that you might know?
Carter became visibly emotional today. He says he's never had to make an announcement like this before, and he appealed directly to the killer's conscience.
A question to you. What will those closest to you think of when they find out that you brutally murdered two little girls? Two children. Only a coward would do such a thing.
And he had a moving message for those who love and miss Libby and Abby.
I just want the family to know that when I take my last breath on this earth, I'll be thinking of them. And I can tell you on behalf of the sheriff and the police chief, so many other partners that have stood with us over this period of time, that we will not stop.
Investigators wouldn't take any questions about what prompted this new change in the investigation, but Carter says they are looking for a vehicle that belongs to the suspect. They didn't give us a description. They say it was parked at the CPS DCS Welfare Building in Delphi between noon to 5 on February 14th of 2017. It was later found abandoned on the east side of County Road 300 North next to the Hoosier Heartland Highway.
Police released a new sketch and brief video clip from one of the girls' phones. Amazon Logistics announced plans this past Tuesday to open an Amazon delivery center in South Bend as soon as later this year. The South Bend Tribune reports Amazon put out a news release saying it expects to speed up deliveries in the South Bend area by offering small businesses and independent contractors jobs making those deliveries. The center would likely be near the South Bend Airport on the city's northwest side. The newspaper reports documents filed with the city building department and state homeland security officials name a site near Mayflower and Adams Roads, occupying over 84,000 square feet and employing over 100 people. The distribution facility was built on spec by Great Lakes Capital, hoping to attract tenants. Great Lakes says it expects to lease the rest of the place to other tenants. Amazon already has multiple fulfillment centers near Indianapolis, shipping and delivering thousands of products, and has a lease to open a facility in Greenwood, Indiana, as well. Delivery centers like the one planned for South Bend allow Amazon to avoid using outside carriers like the Postal Service, UPS, or FedEx to deliver many packages, presumably reducing costs. There's also word this past week that Kohl's department stores nationwide will begin accepting returns of Amazon-purchased products starting in July. School City of Mishawaka named a new superintendent Wednesday. Wayne Barker takes over in July. WSBT 22's Lauren Becker has the story.
He's been the superintendent at Bluffton Harrison Schools near Fort Wayne for the past 10 years. And after several months of going through the process, he's officially becoming the head of Mishawaka Schools.
Aye. A unanimous vote across the board for Wayne Barker to become the next superintendent of the School City of Mishawaka.
It's been a process that we've been kind of going through for 6 months, so to finally see it ready to culminate is exciting for us. We feel very blessed with the opportunity.
Barker is in his 24th year at Bluffton Harrison. He served 14 as assistant principal and 10 as superintendent.
It is a professional challenge for me to think about coming to a district of this size, being in this urban setting. That will be very different. I'm in a school district that is a small town setting.
But Barker says he's up for the challenge. He stood out among a vast number of candidates.
School Board President Richard Curry.
We were looking for a proven track record of success in their home district, not somebody who was in a district where everything was just real easy.
Barker increased enrollment in his current district by 20%. He also raised the graduation rate up to 98%. And last year, he was selected as District 6 Superintendent of the Year.
The consensus is he's everybody's top choice.
But President of the PTA says this is the first time she's hearing his name.
But I was kind of shocked that I hadn't heard anything until today.
But she believes the board made a strong decision. She's hopeful Barker will work more directly with the PTA of Mishawaka Schools.
And after I did the research on him, I was pretty impressed. And then watching him get up there and talk and then hearing the school board talk about him kind of, you know, drove it home a little bit better for me.
Current Superintendent Dean Spiker is retiring after his contract ends June 30th. Barker's 3-year contract takes effect on July 1st. Indiana residents with suspended driver's licenses or unpaid traffic tickets could have the fines and fees they owe cut in half next year. State lawmakers have approved a bill that creates an amnesty period lasting all of next year, when fines and reinstatement fees imposed before the year begins can be reduced by going to court and asking. The bill is now on Governor Eric Holcomb's desk. As many as 185,000 drivers could be eligible for the breaks. Supporters say license suspensions for overdue fines hit the poor especially hard and make it tough for many to hold jobs because they can't get to work if they can't drive. Drivers currently face fees between $250 and $1,000 to get a license reinstated. We learned last week that Notre Dame Stadium will host a high-level soccer match this summer, the first time pro soccer has been played in the iconic stadium. On Friday, July 19th, FC Liverpool and Borussia Dortmund will play a preseason friendly at the stadium. A temporary natural grass surface will be laid down for the match, since both teams play their regular season matches on grass. The natural turf will be taken up again immediately afterward, and Irish football will again play on the artificial turf installed last year in the stadium. Tickets for the soccer match go on sale April 26th at prices ranging from $50 to $600 each. Liverpool will also play matches in Boston's Fenway Park and New York's Yankee Stadium during its U.S. tour. Notre Dame also says it will perform repair and improvement work this summer around the Basilica of the Sacred Heart and the nearby grotto. The work begins after the May 18th commencement ceremonies and is expected to be complete before classes resume in August. Work will include making the basilica entrance to the west of the main doors handicapped accessible, and a new turnaround will enable people to be dropped off southwest of the main entrance. The steps northwest of the grotto will be redone to make them wider and easier to access. Between June 24th and August 2nd, the grotto will not be accessible for wheelchairs while that work continues.
The views expressed on WSBT's Community Update are those of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the host, WSBT Radio, its staff, or management. Join us again next week on Community Update on the Sports Leader, 96.1 WSBT.